Trying this again, good lord. Hello, nerds. I am hopeful this is working. Come on now. This is always such a pain in the butt. Excellent connection. All right. Hopefully it stays that way. Oh, it seems every time we have some sort of issues to start the stream. But last time we actually had pretty decent end result. So hopefully once we can, the jitters at the beginning of this, we can get that taken care of. I gotta go hide our little flub from before. Oh, and it's going so slow, and I apologize. This is dead air, dead air, dead air, dead air, dead air. So we're going to try a couple of things differently for this stream. First is, all of it's going to be, primarily is going to be in the gaming portion. So if you are just here for the news, then nothing really different is going to happen. Hopefully the audio will be just a little bit better because I am on, I got my proper mic stand back out because the little desk stand was a little too noisy. But the other thing, oh yeah, and then we're going to like have goals for the stream and stuff. Since we're going to be playing a couple of different games, we're going to goal it up. All of that being said, I think everything looks like it's done being a jerk. So let's get into the news. Ha ha ha. I don't have my Vivaldi open. If you watched the most recent episode, the tech suggestion was for Vivaldi. Because I haven't integrated it into my OBS yet, but it is going to happen eventually. As it stands right now, we are just talking about the news. Oh yeah, also, there's some Bioshock being played in the background here, so if you hear some Bioshock action, hopefully it won't be, I think I've muted that audio source, so you shouldn't hear it like super clear, but you'll hear it coming through my microphone. Either way, it's pretty awesome. We're probably going to end up playing a little bit of that once we get to the streaming portion. But I'm rambling again. We're going to check out the news. So first things first, we have Sonic the Hedgehog 2 already doing well in the box office. We have 6.25 million between Wednesday and Thursday. 5 million alone on Thursday, 66% higher than the original. That's a pretty good showing. That's a pretty bad still, but that's a pretty good showing. So that's pretty awesome. Rotten Tomatoes is at a 67 from the reviewers and 63 from viewers, from audience score. So, oh wait. No, I'm reading that wrong. I apologize. 67 Rotten Tomato scores, which is higher than the 63 of the original movie, and a 98% with fans, which is higher than the 93% of the original movie. So, all kinds of good stuff, man. But that was a quickie. Oh, hey, look at this. A brand new post just came up. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 has one post-credit scene, just so you know. We're not going to go into it because apparently there are spoilers and it's not what we're here for. Will Smith has been banned from the Oscars. This is a thing that we're just not going to talk about here on the channel. I apologize if that's what you want to talk about, but that's not what we're talking about. Pardon me while I make a little bit of noise on the microphone. Fixing. There we go. That looks better. Thor: Love and Thunder art shows off Chris Hemsworth and Natalie Portman, like it probably should. Kevin Feige helped design Moon Knight. All right, that's where the noise is coming from. It's coming from the cord, I bet. But inspired by the Alex Ross comics. Fantastic Beasts 3. Oh, here we go. More box office stuff. So Fantastic Beasts 3. We have 65 reviews, so about half of what Sonic got, and the reviewer's score is 62%. The movie has yet to open, so we have no audience score. But we do know that the first Fantastic Beasts audience score was 79% rather, sorry. Crimes of Grindelwald was 54%. Oof, that's quite the steep drop. So this looks like it's going to be probably somewhere in the middle, because the reviewer score for the first one was 74 and then the 36 for Grindelwald. Eesh. I didn't know it dropped that hard. I didn't think Grindelwald was that much worse. Like, I know it's not as good, but like, oof. Sonic the Hedgehog, Rotten Tomatoes, we already talked. Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, ticket sales, not as good as Spider-Man No Way Home. Huh. Weird. Willow, here we go. Disney casts, okay. We have more casting announcements for Willow, so that's fun, but more, it's Disney, so I guess we shouldn't be too surprised that there's more social justice checkboxes to check off. Disney has cast first trans actress in a Lucasfilm production, as British actress Talisa Garcia has joined the cast of the Willow series, coming to Disney Plus. Garcia said on her Instagram, "I feel so blessed and honored to be part of the Willow family. This is quite literally the definition of a dream come true." Post Garcia, "When I was at school, I used to drive my teachers crazy. They were always trying to get me to concentrate in class, stop looking out the window, daydreaming. Must have been so frustrating for them. But there was a reason I was unfocused. I was in so much pain. Oh, God. I don't... Just let's talk about the Willow thing. I don't care about your personal life. And assuming you're not hurting other people, I really don't care. Do what you will. Just let's make some good entertainment. Meet the cast." That's the announcement video right there. Is this Meet the Cast up on YouTube? So, again... Still haven't figured out exactly what the situation is with videos on live stream, because when we tried to do it before, we got shut down. So not gonna watch the video, but there is a video that you can watch, Meet the Cast, Willow on Disney Plus, on the YouTubes. It's on the Lucasfilm channel. So there you go, there's that. Chris Pratt is now Batman. Now if that's not clickbait. He's an action figure? How the hell? What looks like to be a hilarious mix-up, a Twitter user posted images of a Robert Pattinson Batman action figure received from Amazon, but the figure doesn't exactly look right. The Batman action figure's figure has the head of Chris Pratt's Star-Lord. Where is it? Right here on the Twitters. Open link in new tab. Oh, that's awesome. If you're just listening to this in post, my apologies, but this is hilarious. Look it up on the Twitters, Batman Unmasked. The poster who thread it was Chase Saw the Batman X21 at BatChase13. And then he let him know that there was a mistake, and they sent him a replacement, but he still has the original. That's great. At BatChase13, we're shouting that out, apparently. Oh, gosh. Okay, that's good stuff. Going back. Hundreds show up to protest woke Disney. That's funny, because being as... barely anybody protested what they were trying to protest outside of what the woke types were trying to protest. Star Wars Celebration featuring Obi-Wan Kenobi, Andor, The Mandalorian, and more. So this time they did actually reference these things. Last year they didn't. Disney and Lucasfilm have confirmed that next month they will do these things. Uh-oh, sneeze. Oh, pardon me. Oh, good Lord. All right, so Next month, the Star Wars Celebration will feature Obi-Wan Kenobi, Andor, Mandalorian, and more. Star Wars Celebration, quote, returns in May, launching with a must-see showcase that will kick the weekend festivities into hyperdrive, announced StarWars.com. On Thursday, May 26th, Lucasfilm's current crop of live-action filmmakers will be joined by special guests to discuss the many Star Wars adventures coming soon, including Obi-Wan Kenobi, Andor, and The Mandalorian. That's pretty great. And then they just go into details about each of those series, and we don't care because we already know. Wonder Twins casting details. Interesting. Wonder Twins live-action movie is presently in development for HBO Max. We know this. We've covered it here on the channel. That hashtag show, who... pairs Battlestar Galactic in that order. Hashtag show, so take this with a grain of salt, because they are not always the most reliable source, has got their hands on a casting call. They were correct with the Quantum Leap reboot stuff, so that is valid. Descriptions for various characters include Jaina's roommate and a pair of villains. A pair of villains. Why does the villain always have to be the evil version of the hero? I don't understand. Black Adam writer Adam Zeichel, something, is writing the film based on the casting descriptions. We've already covered all of that. Wonder Twins are the first introduced. We've covered that. Jaina's roommate. All right, so here's the descriptions according to that hashtag show. Casting for Jaina's roommate is for a female character named Kenzie, where the casting call is requesting an Australian female over the age of 18 to play an 18-year-old, as they want the actress to sport an Australian accent. Kenzie is described as optimistic, but isn't all there with a couple of screws loose. That's funny. And that she is trying to become best friends with Jaina, I think is what they meant to say. No matter the cost, it's further said Kenzie has a crush on Chad, who's the other Wonder Twin, which is the Earth name of Zan, and that Kenzie encourages Chad, even though his powers are turning into various forms of water. Villains are a set of evil twins. The villains are said to be a set of 17-year-old twins, Pills and Vinka, though it's possible there could be a larger main villain, where they are described as kind of like creepy girls from The Shining. It said Pills and Vinka talk in unison, walk in unison, and wear matching outfits, and also that they're unnerving and are sent on a mission to kill Jaina and Zan. Interesting. Makes no mention as to whether or not this is a comic book. This comes from the comic books. I honestly never read any Wonder Twins stuff, so maybe. Definitely let me know if that's the case, because that would be news to me. Alright, so fans again want Grant Gustin as the Flash due to the Ezra Miller debacle. And with the CW Berlantiverse starting to die off one series at a time, I feel like that would be the best thing for all involved, save for maybe Ezra Miller, but who really cares at this point about that dude? Doctor Strange Multiverse Madness shows off spot and posters. Oh, this is going to be another video, though. They're supposed to be in this new spot. Oh, that's right. We already watched it. I referenced it in the most recent episode of the regular news show. But I thought there was more zombie stuff. No, it was just what was in the trailer. So never mind. I take it back. Ezra Miller as the Flash on hold following WB emergency meeting. Uh-oh. Confirming the rumors that we've briefly touched on, because again, this gets a little bit too interpersonal and it's not really something we generally talk about on the show, but confirming what we are reported, what Cosmic Book is where we're getting this from, what they reported the other day. Now it is learned that Warner Brothers has held an emergency meeting regarding the behavior of Ezra Miller, which follows his recent arrest in Hawaii for disorderly conduct. Oh, that might be a physics glitch. That might be. Sometimes. That. Rolling Stone reports. Oh, so we have an additional source. Rolling Stone reports that the arrest of Ezra Miller prompted an emergency Warner Brothers meeting about the star's future, where an insider says Miller had frequent meltdowns while filming last year on The Flash and described the actor as losing it, quote unquote. Wow. Said that as a result of that meeting, Warner Brothers has decided to hit pause on any future projects involving Miller, including possible appearances in the DC Extended Universe. Wow. Regarding Miller's frequent meltdowns and losing it, quote-unquote, on the set of The Flash, it is said that while the actor didn't yell or have any violent outbursts, quote, Ezra would get a thought in his head and say, I don't know what I'm doing. Wow, so the we need to talk about Kevin movie. Maybe it wasn't so far off, because he really is crazy. It's further said, The Flash is a production fraught with drama. Warner Brothers recently announced they pushed back the release date for The Flash 7 months from the start of the DC slate to the end. It's also learned that the behavior of Ezra Miller in Hawaii is worse than first thought. In addition to his arrest at a karaoke bar in Hawaii, where Miller shouted obscenities, grabbed the microphone from a 23-year-old woman as she was singing, allegedly lunged at a 32-year-old man playing darts, a local couple filed temporary restraining order against... Wow, he really kind of flew off the hinges, didn't he? A couple claims Miller allegedly stole the woman's passport and the man's wallet. Oh my goodness. Yeah, he was being method. this is just Ezra Miller method actor. I will bury you and your slut wife. Weird. That is what he yelled at the man and the woman, apparently. Discovery apparently cleaning house at Warner Brothers. The news about the emergency meeting surrounding Ezra Miller also comes right as Discovery takes over, probably not a coincidence, which is cleaning house Warner Brothers in what is described as a bloodbath. Interesting. Ezra Miller's problematic behavior also includes now deleted bizarre posts about the... that's right. Wow. So, with Rolling Stone getting in on this, it seems like there is a little bit more validity to these rumors. Mr. Knight trends on Twitter as fans have mixed reactions. I haven't watched episode 2 yet. I know Mr. Knight is in episode 2, but I have not watched yet. So since we're getting in spoiler territory, I don't mind, but I'm sure you guys do. And if I haven't watched it, then I'm sure a fair portion of you haven't watched it. So we're just going to move along. Episode 2 review, another good one. Good. I'm glad to hear it. And then we get into Bill Skarsgård cast as lead in the Crow reboot. They're going to replace Ezra Miller with Chris Pratt. I almost said Chris Pine. All right. So I think that is what we got from Cosmic Book. Let's move right along. We're just going to do We Got This Covered and then do some music stuff. I just knocked over the mic. I apologize.
What?
You're being awfully loud. You're being awfully loud. movies. Grant Gustin should just take over as the Flash. It'll be that easy. All right. Hollywood Dreams and Nightmares, the Robert Englund story. Oh, documentary. Documentary wraps filming. Apparently, there was a Robert Englund documentary being filmed. Into the Spider-Verse director joins Ahsoka series on Disney Plus. Movie industry hopes Sonic the Hedgehog 2 success signals comeback for family films. If it's good, yeah, of course it will. Netflix's Beverly Hills Cop 4 gets a new director again. Sonic the Hedgehog star says the third movie is in development. This is not exactly surprising. Mads Mikkelsen absolutely incinerates bull poop method acting. Of course he would, because he's a decent actor. He doesn't need that silliness. Disney debuts Sneakerella trailer in advance of May release. Will Smith banned from the Oscars. Again, we're not talking about that. Underrated dystopian thriller leads. It's not news. Danny Radcliffe explains his approach, choosing surprising roles. Chris Pine says, blah, 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 blah. 20-year-old forgotten horror movie. Not news. Legacy. No. 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 Wait, did we miss Rex Manning Day?
We miss Rex Manning Day?
Let's see. Happy Rex Manning Day. Oh, yeah, it's today. Happy Rex Manning Day. Happy Rex Manning Day, everyone. Okay. All right, nerds. As we're recording this, it is Rex Manning Day. One of the most loathed adaptations. Don't care. Bruce Willis movies. Don't care. Give me news, not garbage. Don't just send me filler. That's interesting. Eddie Redmayne says, Fantastic Beasts 3 is Ocean's 11 with wizards. All right, I can get behind that. That sounds like fun. There'll be no Miss Congeniality 3. Don't care. Vanessa Hudgens. Been seeing ghosts, apparently. Wonka Star shares update on the Roald Dahl prequel. We can check that out. It looks like it's going to be from Chalamet, and that's always worth an update. Man, he looks like all at once menacing and awesome in that picture. So again, those of you listening in post, I apologize that you can't see this, but look up the Timothée Chalamet Wonka picture if you can go to the Googles or the DuckDuckGoes or whatever and check that out. That is he's such a good little actor, that kid, man. Film studios are certainly mining their vaults of pre-existing characters as they have decided to go ahead and give another beloved character a backstory prequel film. And yeah, we've talked about this. This time it's flamboyant, blah, 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 blah. Where is the update? Okay, while it's promoting her current film, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Wonka star Natasha Rothwell gave Screen Rant just a hint as to what to expect from the movie. She says, quote, "Can't give away anything. I feel like I signed everything away to do it, but I had so much fun. I literally got back a few weeks ago from shooting in London. I was there for 5 months, and I just think audiences are going to enjoy it. I think I'm drawn to stories, especially post the height and peak of the pandemic, that spread goodness and love, and I think that's the heart of both Sonic and Wonka." Well, that's pretty cool. I like that. Production for Wonka started last year, so it sounds like they've come to an end. Been a great week in Oxford, Wonka News. Many audience goers will be seeking out stories. Yeah, spread goodness and love. I like that. All right. Stop it. Why? Why must you do this? Blah, blah, blah. Sam Raimi says, Doctor Strange 2 has flavors of horror, but it's not proper horror. Of course. Everything Everywhere All at Once gets almost perfect Rotten Tomatoes record rating. Good lord, I got words. I can say them. Love to make a Smash Brothers crossover film? Why? That's a silly thing. Maybe make a different crossover, sure. New action comedy. Blah, blah, blah. Lonely Planet. Why is this such a slow news week, apparently? There is not a lot going on. This is all filler. This is all filler. Yep, alright. Moving over to gaming. See what they got there, because it's probably all filler too. Elden Ring player discovers tough boss Radahn as major weakness. Okay, so all of you Elden Ring players, I guess this is something newsworthy. Because we haven't had much else. Star Scourge Radahn has been terrorizing players ever since Elden Ring launched. He wields two gigantic swords, fires magical arrows that one-shot under-level players. Wow. Summons magical projectiles and zips around his boss arena in this tiny horse on his tiny horse Leonard. Even with the assistance of multiple AI summons, he's a menace, especially when midway through the fight he leaps into space and crashes down into the arena as a meteor. But it's that killer move that's proven to be his undoing. A Japanese player noted that the fight takes place on the coast, that Radahn's chunky armor isn't great for swimming, and oh hey, check it out. Twitter video, which means probably okay to play. We're gonna do it. Open link in new tab. Let's do this. All right, so he's about to jump, apparently. Maybe. That is a behemoth of a boss. There he goes. Jumps. Giving you the color can. Oh, hey, check that out. So if you go over to... And that's it? Wow. Okay, so he goes over to the beach, goes over to where it looks like there's a cliff nearby where you're fighting him in his boss arena. And he has, when he jumps up, he's got about half. Yeah, his HP is about half full. And he literally goes over to the edge of this cliff where he's just staring off into the ocean. And here comes the boss down like a meteor and does a little bit of damage to the player, but emphasis on little bit, right into the water. And he doesn't come up. That looks to be the end of the fight. That's pretty cool. So there you go. Head over to the edge of the water cliff when he jumps up, and you can just hand him his booty. Booty. That's impressive. That's really cool. He does have heavy armor on. What is this video done here? We might be getting sidetracked. Oh, similar defeat of a different boss. That's cool. All right. Just tricked the boss to walking off the ledge. That is impressive. All right, Pac-Land re-release gives Miss Pac-Man the boot in favor of Pac-Mom. I don't know what that means. Yeah, we're not going to look into it either. Build your own clone army with this Lego Star Wars glitch? I'm interested. There's a glitch in Lego Star Wars. The exploit... which was shared to YouTube by Bombastic, takes advantage of one of the game's unplayable characters, Grogu. When you select Mando as your playable character, you'll see Grogu floating around, following you and available to switch in the in-game character menu. Given that he can't actually be used, if you swap the character out of the game for another Mando, the game will duplicate Grogu, allowing you to do this process up to 30 times. The result continues to spawn Mandalorians in the level until eventually you've assembled an army that will follow you into battle. All right, I'm gonna venture that this one also is safe, so we're just gonna play it. You probably won't be able to hear what's going on, so once again, I will give you the color commentary. Wow, there is all kinds of Mandos behind this guy. That's hilarious. They're following him around. So right now he's just showing it off. All right, so... That's exactly what it is. So Grogu doesn't go away. You swap him out, so you have... That's hilarious. You have... Oh, but you can kill him. Nope, he comes back. That's funny. So you have your team across the top, and it shows you all of the different characters in your team, and Grogu appears in your team. So when you highlight to swap him out for somebody, everyone's locked. You can't swap him out except for a handful of other characters. So presumably you could do this with other characters as well. He has three Grogus on screen now too. Others. That's awesome. So if you choose one of the characters in the list to swap him out, Grogu doesn't actually get swapped out. But the new person that you swapped him for comes into play. So they just follow you into battle. Can you like use them to fight? Now he has four Grogus and like 30 Mandos. But will they fight? That is the question. Come on now. I want to see if they'll fight. He's not taking them into battle. He's just running away from them to see what happens. And they're like lemmings. They just follow him to the ends of the earth. All right. Dude, go into battle, dude. What the heck is going on? Nothing. He doesn't take him into battle. There's nothing there. That's unfortunate. All right. That's fun. Is anything else newsworthy? No. Nothing. At Mario Golf is joining Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pack. That's cool. But it's like $20 a month. Who's actually paying that? Halo character makes her long-awaited debut in Episode 3. Gee, I wonder who that could be. Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga smashes franchise records. Of course, it's the entire Skywalker Saga. Why wouldn't it? Sonic the Hedgehog 2 producers won't recast Robotnik even if Jim Carrey retires. Because he'll come back. He's not stupid. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 actor Idris Elba breaks down Knuckles' motivation. This is all... Yep. All right. So, moving right along. Yes, that is Bioshock that we're listening to in the background. No, you're fine. You're fine. Bob Odenkirk says he's not running away from Jimmy McGill. Good Lord. Disney drops some truth in the new Moon Knight promo. It's too much clickbait. I don't know if I want to click that. Hawkeye Star says show was one of the best things you could ask for. I don't know if the fans agree with that. Bridgerton intimacy coordinator responds to toned down criticism. Bridgerton's intimacy coordinator, the person they have on set to make sure that sex scenes don't get awkward between the actors, woman, safe. She addressed, apparently, the toned-down criticism of people saying that it's too toned down in season 2. Cast of Outer Range. Oh, the new Amazon Supernatural thriller series. That will be great. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Josh Brolin, new series. Looks like a little bit of... Oh, Yellowstone. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. It looks like a little bit of Yellowstone meets Supernatural. Pretty great. New character poster for Victor Hargreaves, Elliot Page's character in Umbrella Academy. Don't care. Spock's first name. Star Trek Brave, Strange New Worlds has the answer. Will Wheaton sounds bummed out to be missing Star Trek Picard Season 3. I mean, I'm sure he's so powerful in Hollywood, he could do it, right? Like, that's how he thinks anyway. Moon Knight and Loki directors Complex Outcast. Nothing. This, I hate this. This is so poopy. There's no news. This is all filler. Tom Hiddleston's been cast in a new Antarctic adventure from Pachinko creator. I mean, if that's what we got for news, this is sad. Okay, here we go. Cast and characters confirmed for Star Trek Strange New World. Let's check that out, shall we? Anson Mount as Christopher Pike. We know that one. Rebecca Romijn as Una Chin Riley, a.k.a. Number One. Ethan Peck as Spock. That one we knew as well. Jess Bush, Nurse Christine Chapel. Don't know if she's new to the series, it would seem. Yeah. When Star Trek, when the series Number One was eliminated, Majel Barrett was recast as Nurse Christine Chapel, a role she reprised in the animated series and two movies. Strange New Worlds Chapel will be portrayed by Jess Bush from Playing for Keeps. Okay. Babs, I apologize, but I'm going to try and pronounce this last name. Olusan Mokun, as Dr. Mbenga. Another original series character reimagined for Strange New Worlds. Bruce Horak as Hammer. From latter series, this is from also the original series, is playing Engineer Hammer, a member of the Aenar, a blind telepathic race first introduced in So his race is from Enterprise, which was also kind of a prequel series, if I remember correctly. I didn't really watch Enterprise. That's one Star Trek series I never really watched. Which is sad, because I really like Scott Bakula. Moving right along, we have Melissa Navia as Lieutenant Erica Ortegas. I should know where that one's from. Before Hikaru Sulu. Oh, that's right. So she was on the Enterprise before. She was before Sulu. Gotcha. Christina Chong as Lieutenant Laan Noonien Singh. This is an original character. Laan, yeah, I said it right. Is the name... That's a name that carries a lot of weight in the Star Trek canon. It confirmed that Laan is somehow related to the infamous Khan. I guess I need to rewatch Khan because I did not remember that. That's interesting, though. That's super interesting. Celia Rose Gooding as Cadet Nyota Uhura. Oh, I guess I never knew Uhura's first name, or I forgot it. Uhura's back, one of the most rightly celebrated of Trek characters. Heck yeah. Uhura's a badass. Paul Wesley as James T. Kirk. That's right, this vampire don't sparkle. We already knew that, though. That was the last announcement. So, I mean, there's a couple in there that we didn't know. That's fun. All right, continuing on. I think... I think that might be all the actual news we've got. Kiernan Shipka will always jump at the chance to play Sabrina, so maybe something might come from that. Nope, nothing. All garbage. Comic books. Let's see what they got here. Probably not. Just telling you what to read. Doctor Strange will continue the No Way Home storyline. We already know that. Yep. Nothing there. All right. So I guess we're going to... Oh, I'm sorry. I just bumped the microphone again. Let's go to... What was it? Metal Injection, I think. That had the top lists. Rammstein have released Zigzag. Unfortunately, have not had time to sit down and do reactions, which sucks, but they will happen, I swear. Moonspell announces anniversary tour. Where is the... This was so much easier to find last time when we stumbled upon it. Film based on Kurt Cobain's last days is being turned into an opera. That seems inappropriate. Vile Valo announces solo album. I don't like him, but that's big news because they were kind of huge for a while because Bam Margera is a horrible person. Him vocalist Vile Valo is back with a brand new solo project called VV, which he describes as the mamas and the papas dressed up as Metallica on their way to a Halloween bash at Studio 54, which is kind of how you could almost describe him. VV will release its first single, Love Letting, on April 8th. Oh my lord, it's just going to be more him garbage. That's all it's going to be. As fun as the funeral rites for him were, it took me more than a few moons to lick my wounds in the shadows of the heartogram and come up with an excuse to strum and hum again, he says. Eventually, I decided to put a leash on my beloved black dog, and we started howling together instead of barking at each other, and that's how Love Letting was born. Good lord. Oh, what a not wonderful person. All right, why were these top lists? Was it not on Metal Injection? Was it on something else? Grammy producer apologizes for snubs during In Memoriam segment. Let's see what he has to say for himself. The segment included tributes to Taylor Hawkins, Dusty Hill, and Charlie Watts from the Stones, but snubbed, like we talked about in the episode, Joe Jordison, John Zazula, wasn't John and his wife, didn't they both die? Ken Winston apologized for the snubs. He says, quote, "Well, firstly, I think that anybody who feels left out or feels almost snubbed by an In Memoriam, I think that from the bottom of our hearts, there can only be apologies because we go into this show only ever wanting to bring joy and love to people with music. And then with an In Memoriam, just remember people in the best way possible. So no excuses, no only other than sympathy to anybody who feels that." And later added, "I think the practicalities of running a live show, usually the In Memoriam, contains between 45 and 60 people every year. There were 60 people in that In Memoriam montage, and the Recording Academy have a committee of people, and I don't know the ins and outs of it." Oh, so he's going to brush it off onto somebody else. "I have to be honest with you, because it doesn't necessarily fall under us in any way. We didn't do it, even though it was in my broadcast. The Recording Academy," have a committee of a variety of members, and they go through the hundreds of members who sadly passed away every year. They decide who should be honored in the In Memoriam. I don't know the ins and outs of the process," again repeating himself, "so it wouldn't be right for me to speak on it. All I would add is just sympathy to anybody who feels that they weren't..." So... What an idiot. This is very poor choice of words. He's talking about anyone who feels like they were snubbed from the In Memoriam. Nobody who should have been in the In Memoriam could feel like they have been snubbed because they have passed on and are no longer in this plane of existence. So, what a dumbass. But secondly, he's not even taking responsibility for it. He said, "Oh, it's not us. It's the Academy. They did it." So this is who they... Bismarcky... Oh, God, I forgot Bismarcky died. Ugh, that makes me sad. This is the list. Charlie Watts again. Meatloaf. Ugh. Such a sad year. Who else am I forgetting? Ronnie Spector... Shock G. Oh, I totally forgot about Shock G, too. That makes me sad again. Malcolm Caesar. So a lot of these, DMX, yep. A lot of these are like producers and people behind the scenes that only musician, like music nerds like myself would really get into. So I feel like the average music fan is going to be more likely to respond to music personalities. So the producers and the engineers should be reserved. If you're going to leave anyone out, you should leave those guys to the online announcements of In Memoriam and leave the musicians, the people who are out in front, unless it's somebody huge. Like, I don't know, if Mutt Lang dies, I can see them putting him in the broadcast. Or if I can't even think of producers that most people would know. Like, most people don't know producers. So I feel like, or engineers, even if they do know producers, they absolutely don't know engineers. Like, that is a thing that just does not happen. So I feel like it's absolutely ridiculous that they left off. At the very least, Joey Jordison. An argument can be made for a number of other artists, but like, Joey Jordison was a top 40 selling artist, and he passed in a very untimely manner. And you guys left. I already said once we're not talking about the Grammys anymore, and here we are talking about the damn Grammys. So, yeah. All right. Let's do the weekly injection. Let's check this out. See if there's any good stuff that's been released. I don't recognize any of these guys. All right. So, Destruction, Diabolical. I actually think I've heard this. I heard a single from this record on Liquid Metal. That was not bad, actually. So that one's worth a look. Envy of None. Also heard this on Liquid Metal. That was decent. I don't know that one was great. It's not really jumping out of my memory, so it couldn't have been great. Hollis, Isle of Wisdom, based on the record, looks like some stoner metal. Or based on the album cover, anyway. Health. This one looks very very interesting. We talked about one of the singles that came off of this because it features the dudes from Lamb of God. And the single is Cold Blood. We talked about it when it was released. It is such a unique sound for Lamb of God that it's definitely worth a listen. The rest of the record, if you're into industrial music, you should probably go take a listen there. Heterogeneous and Dead, Chaotic Fragments. That looks like AI generated album art, but it looks cool. Genre, symphonic death metal thrash from Tokyo, Japan. It has me a little bit more interested. I like a lot of Japanese metal. Metal Injection says, "This is rad." I want to listen to that. We're again not going to listen to this on stream because, YouTube. Insight, Wake Up Dead. That's another callback to Megadeth. Richie Cavalera. Whoa. Oh, and Max makes a surprise. So Richie Cavalera is Max Cavalera's brother. And apparently Max makes a guest appearance on this Wake Up Dead record on the song War Soup. Oh, I have heard this. I thought it was kind of weird. It's not terrible. It's not great, but it's not terrible. It's not that bad at all. Igor Lapo, Nature Realism. Again, pretty cool artwork. Progressive metal origin, St. Petersburg, Russia. Interesting. Okay. Lux Incerta, Dark Odyssey. I really dig that album art. Some really, really intricate line drawings, and a couple of doves. Doom, Melodic Death, probably something I'm going to dig. From Paris, France. Again, another reason to check that out. First record in a decade, apparently. Insomnium, Wood of Epers, and Agaloch. all at once.
Huh.
I like that. I like that. Summary from the dudes at Metal Injection. Joe Satriani, the Elephants of Mars. Satch is always good stuff, so probably worth a listen. Also dropping. Oh my god, there's so much stuff. nothing that I recognize offhand. Papa Roach. Serge Tankian and the FCC live at Leeds from Surgical Strike Records. I'm kind of really hit and miss with Serge's solo stuff, so I don't know if that's necessarily worth it. But that's the only stuff that I'm really recognizing on the releases this week. Abhorrent Expanse. I like that name. Death metal. All right. Bjorn Rees. Also like that name. Prague, probably worth a listen. Black Swan, I feel like I've heard that name before. Hard rock. Generation Mind. Yeah, sure. All right, so let's see. Maybe it was Loudwire that had those top 10 lists. Heaviest bands to play late night TV. So I think this might be where we need to go. 10 best albums by singers who left big rock / metal bands. Jacoby Shaddix hated that Papa Roach were lumped in with nu metal. Well, then you shouldn't have rapped, you douchebag. Creator call upon Strongest of the Strong on new song. Come on, give me those top 10s, man. Bolt for My Valentine release, Omen, Ready reissue. Oh, what's her name from Ginger's on that new Decapitated record? Cancer Culture. Oh, no kidding. Tatiana Shmyluk. I literally heard like 10 seconds of this song when I got in my car leaving the day job today. That's cool. I didn't realize that was her. Not gonna lie. Fozzy, blah. Was not into them before. Definitely have no respect for them now that I know that they use backing tracks live. Concerned about their teens' TikTok use, as well they probably should be. Don't care about Jacoby Shaddix, Avril Lavigne. Listen to the new Rammstein Zigzag and watch the wild new video. Yes, do that. And then I will do a reaction video. All right, let's just go here because we're not finding what we want. Top 10 heaviest bands to play late night TV shows. Black Sabbath on Top of the Pops. That is like an uber notorious performance. It's also a great performance. Napalm Death on What's That Noise in 89. Wow, that's interesting.
Then.
band performed You Suffer. Okay. And what was the other song? From Enslavement to Obliteration. Rage Against the Machine on The Word. What is The Word? Oh, it's a UK entry. Gotcha. I'm telling you, metal is much more widely accepted in Europe. In the rest of the world, it's just in the States that it kind of has this weird up and down relationship. Faith No More did Ashes to Ashes. TFI Friday. I don't know what that is either. Hugely popular in its day, TFI Friday ran for 6 series between 96 to 2000. Its brief was twofold, to provide both a celebration of the week's end and to put viewers in party mode. Weird. I don't know. I don't think that was an American show, was it? Whatever. They performed Ashes to Ashes. We already covered that. System on Late Night. So Conan has an appreciation for metal. If for no other reason, because Max Weinberg's son, Jay, was a bit of a metalhead and so had a little bit of say for some reason in some of the bands that made it onto the late night show in the 90s and into the 2000s, because that's how Slipknot got on there, because that was a recommendation from Jay. And now Jay plays for Slipknot, which is awesome. But yeah, so System of a Down did What song did they do? Spiders. Oh, that makes a little bit of sense. That was probably the single in 98. So, yeah. And one of the more toned down System of a Down songs to exist. So, makes a lot of sense. Slipknot actually have been on Conan a number of times. First time they did Wait and Bleed. And then they also did... Push My Fingers Into My Eyes. Why can't I think of the name of the song? Stupid. I'm dumb. Slowly starts the end. Whatever. I can think of the words, but I can't think of the name of the damn song. Dun 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 dun. They did that, and they did Wait and Bleed in 2000, but the other one was obviously later. Lamb of God did Jimmy Kimmel. Actually, I think they did Jimmy Kimmel twice. Oh no, this was they did two songs. It was from the Strum and Drang record because it was 512 and... what was the second song? Come on, dude. Yeah, we don't care about that. We just want to know the music that they play. But yeah, they did two songs off of Strum and Drang. 512 was the first one. The other one was the Werewolf one. I can't even remember the name of that one either. I'm just brain farting song titles tonight. Mastodon did Curl of the Burl on Letterman. That's awesome. That's probably my favorite song off of the Hunter record too. It's just the Curl of the Burl. That or the Sea Monster one, which I can. I'm horrible with song titles tonight. I apologize. Sorry. Checking things. All right. Oops. Wrong button. Was that number one? Nope. Metallica did The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and they did Battery, which is apparently one of Stephen Colbert's favorite Metallica songs. Also one of mine. Sad to say, Ghost is not heavy metal, but whatever. They were on Jimmy Kimmel. They did some song because... Yeah, well, there you go. No, Ghost... I don't know that Ghost will ever be hard. Ghost is like...
Yeah, I think,
yeah. Ghost is like if you gave Iron Maiden some acid. That's kind of how I... And then, they're not great. They're not good. I just need to bookmark those lists, I guess, because... Well, that's scary. Local death metal drummer attacked by man with axe and gun in California. These all 23 musicians who've been in GNR. That's fun. Hey, let's go check that one out real quick. And then I think we're going to call the news portion. Yeah, but I need to find those lists, I think, pre-stream and then just go that way. So, Guns N' Roses... All 23 musicians who've been in Guns N' Roses. So, we have the original Appetite for Destruction lineup. Axl, Slash, Duff, Izzy, and Steven Adler. But that is not exactly the most original because Tracy Guns was in the original lineup. And that was before Appetite for Destruction. Hence the Guns N' Roses. Axl Rose and Tracy Guns. There you go. Get it. The original lineup was Axl, Tracy, Izzy, Ole Beich, and Rob Gardner. Beich didn't last very long, according to Loudwire. Only in the group for two sessions, apparently. McKagan took his place. Bump, 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 bump. All right, here we go. All 23 musicians. Axl, Tracy Guns, Izzy Stradlin, Ollie, Beich. Rob Gardner was a drummer before they became Guns. It was when, And then Duff, Steven Adler. And then 2016 to present. Okay. Steven Adler was drums. Slash on the git fiddle. Matt Sorum on drums. I know that. Oh, because he played with The Cult. That's why I know that name. Also a great band, The Cult. Check them out if you haven't. Dizzy Reed, a keyboard player in 85. 90 to present. Wow, he's been from 1990 to present. So he's seen some stuff. Gilby Clark played for Izzy Stradlin after he left. He was on tour with him for Use Your Illusion. I feel like I know his name. Why do I know his name? Because sounds really familiar. I just can't think of who else he's played for. I don't know. It doesn't say. Paul Tobias, also known as Paul Huge, childhood friend of Axel, the duo collaborated on tracks Back Off, Bitch, Shadow of Your Love together, originally written for Axel's pre-GNR band Hollywood Rose. Here Today, Gone to Hell, interesting. Josh Fries, who is playing with West Borland for, good Lord, why can I not remember words or names or anything today? I'm Googling it. I apologize. Danny Elfman. Good Lord. That was a horrible brain fart. Fries is playing with Danny Elfman at his festival dates that we talked about in the last episode, and that's awesome. Fries is a great drummer. He's just a fantastic dude. Robin Fink was on guitar. Tommy Stinson, he looks familiar as well. He was on bass, but it doesn't say who else he's played with. Chris Pittman was keyboards. Buckethead played for 4 years, even though he hasn't. I don't think they released any of the music that Buckethead played for him. He played with them live on the MTV, the VMAs, I believe, and that's about it. I think he was on tour with them for those 4 years, and that was bad. Brain, I didn't know Brain played drums for a minute. For 6 years, 2000 to 2006, Brain was the drummer. Brain played with Primus, played with Perfect Circle, I believe. No, that's Freeze, played for Perfect Circle. Played with Buckethead, because that's who recommended him for GNR. Brain is one of the greatest modern drummers to play rock and metal. Period. End of statement. Name is Brian Mantia something, but he goes by Brain because it's better. Richard Fortus is guitar. Apparently he is the third or fourth guitar, because it says two present and they have two guitar players. Frank Ferrer, I feel like I know that name too, but it's not going to tell me what other bands he's played. Played on several Chinese Democracy songs, so some of his recordings made it into Chinese Democracy. That's great. Bumblefoot is a very strange dude and has been in a lot of stuff, does a lot of solo stuff, also played in GNR. DJ Ashba, up until recently, was one of the guitar players for GNR. He's been in a lot of stuff too. Melissa Reese is currently the keyboard player. And that's it. That's all 21, 23, whatever it said. Yeah, and then we're going to call that a stream, nerds. That is the news. That is all the news worth talking about. And some of that was, we were really, really struggling to find some news. So those of you who are here on stream, hang out for a minute. We are going to be taking a little bit of a break, and we will be back for more on the gaming side of things. We're going to start things off, looks like, with BioShock, and then move into some Halo and maybe some Splitgate. And otherwise, thank you very much, nerds. We will see you in the regularly scheduled episode next week, next Wednesday. I've been getting a little bit better about getting them out earlier in the day, so you'll actually have time to watch it on Wednesday, and I won't be posting it at midnight. But either way, I appreciate you faces. Like I said, we will be taking a brief break. I'm going to switch over to that screen now. And yeah, thanks again, nerds. Before we head out, for those of you, again, listening in post to Just the News or watching Just the News, always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here.